Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone this morning, and I know we're going to receive a blessing as we worship. Please note the Wednesday night menu that is in your bulletin, and the Bible study continues this Thursday at 4 o'clock. Are there any announcements that should be made this morning that were not? If not, as we gather for worship this morning, let us gather and come with the thought and the praise upon our heart. As the psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go up into the house of the Lord. Gracious and loving Lord, we thank you that indeed you are with us in this very moment. So as we gather to worship today, we give this service to you. We pray that our hearts and minds are in such a place that you receive our thanksgiving and praise, and we receive the messages you would convey to us. As we proceed, may this service be pleasing to your sight and hearing, and may it strengthen your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of praise is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Let's stand as we sing. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. On the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? I have with my Lord to be, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Thank you. Please be seated.
As we go to prayer this morning, are there joys or concerns that should be lifted up? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we come to this day just giving you thanks and praise. We come just thanking you that you are ever faithful. Thanking you that though you are the God of all creation, anything that exists is your creation. And yet you care for each one of us as if we were your only creation. We thank you that you love the world so much that Jesus died on the cross for us, yet you love each one of us enough that you would have done so for just us. And so, Lord, as we come to this time, we want to thank you, we want to praise you, we want to offer our love and our adoration. And we don't always know how to do that. But we thank you that you know each one of us better than we even know ourselves. You know what we're thinking. You know what we feel. You know us, as I said, even better than we know ourselves. And so I thank you that though we may not know how to articulate our thanksgiving and praise, we may not know how to articulate our adoration, your heart communes with our heart, and we pray that you are pleased by what you experience from your people this morning. And we thank you that as we come, that indeed you are faithful. In our community, from in our local church here at Walker, in the community of Greene and Putnam counties, there have been many tragedies, Lord. And it's easy to become weighed down by the emotions and the struggles that come with that. But we thank you again that you were ever faithful, you were ever present. And though our hearts may grieve, though we may experience the sadness of loss, that your joy is ever present, that it's always there. And we can have that joy, Lord, not but from our own strength, but from your strength. And so we just pray that we are in that place where we receive your strength this morning for whatever life may bring our way. And you know the other names and situations that are upon our prayer list. We pray your touch according to your will and your wisdom upon each one. And Lord, as always, may we never forget to thank you for the freedom that we know as American citizens and the freedom to assemble this morning. We pray that we never take our freedom as license, but we also always treasure our freedom as opportunity. And Lord, as we worship this morning in the freedom that we do, we know that there are men and women in harm's way in civilian and in military roles standing in the gap between us and those who would take freedom away. We pray your protection upon them. There are those who have been wounded in the body in ways that will never heal physically. But Lord, we pray your healing touch upon them. There are those who have been wounded in body, heart, in heart, mind, and soul. And many times those are secret wounds, those are private wounds that no one else ever knows but the turmoil of the person that experiences them. May your touch be upon those wounds in a very special way. And Lord, we thank you for the family of God that gathers, worships, serves at Walker Church. You have blessed us beyond measure. We pray that as you have blessed us, we will indeed be a blessing in this community and even the world. And we pray that when we leave these grounds, that we are conscious of your presence with us. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed, and bring us back to worship you and to encourage each other. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who told us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of preparation is Amazing Grace. We'll sing 1, 2, 3, and 6. Let's stand as we sing.
Amazing grace, how
us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, anything we bring to you was first your gift that you lavished upon us. We do pray that as your people bring back a portion of those gifts to you, that your blessings continue upon each gift and giver, and that you guide us as a congregation, that every penny that is entrusted will be used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and even the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. Came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are times when the most familiar passages of the Bible hit me as if I was reading it for the first time. The account of blind Bartimaeus is so familiar, yet a single word in a single phrase in this passage struck me this time. Jesus asked Bartimaeus what he wanted him to do. According to the New Revised Standard Version, Bartimaeus responded, "My teacher, let me see again." Many reputable translations simply say, "I want to see." But the New Revised Standard Version and the New Century Version, we read, "My teacher, let me see again." I find this passage particularly striking because the logical conclusion would be is that Bartimaeus had not always been blind. Bartimaeus apparently knew what it was to see, and he wants to see once more. So as we consider this encounter and the lessons it offers us today, I'm reminded that spiritually speaking, there are three types of vision deficient people. First, there are those who have always been blind. They've never experienced the joy of forgiveness or the call of Jesus upon their lives. A second group is some folks need glasses. These people know the saving power of Jesus. They may even have a sense of Jesus' call to commitment in service. Their sight, however, is still somewhat out of focus. They need a little correction. They need a little direction in order to fulfill their potential in the faith. The third group are folks who are more severely visually deficient now, but they have once seen. Some folks once knew the saving power of Jesus Christ and knew the Lord's call on their lives, and somewhere along the way, something happened. Something happened that caused them to go blind. They quit the church, or at least they quit being involved in any meaningful way. And even if they didn't overtly abandon Jesus, they no longer experienced the joy and purpose they once knew. When we have experienced the power of Jesus and realized His purpose upon us, we can never be content until we allow Jesus to restore our spiritual sight. You know, as I reflect upon the churches I've been privileged to pastor, I've come to realize something that I wish I had realized in the beginning of my ministry. It would not have solved every problem. It would not have removed every challenge. But I believe I would have viewed many people in many situations much differently. I've come to realize in a spiritual sense that every single one of us in the church, both preacher and church member, needs glasses. I believe the majority of church folks are good and decent people. Most of us try to live according to the standards of the Bible. Most of us strive to be a benefit to our family spiritually and otherwise. Most of us attempt to live honorably among our neighbors. We want to be the church Jesus calls us to be. And in many ways, we fulfill that. Yet regardless of how faithful an individual Christian may be, until we meet the Lord in heaven, we have more to learn and we have room to grow. Regardless of the faithfulness of a congregation, there's always more to learn and always more to do, more to always be as Christ's church. The Apostle Paul proclaimed that on this earth, we know only partially. Hence, the most precious saint we know is still learning and making adjustments in his or her attitudes and actions. They are making these adjustments because they realize the goal of life. If I'm kind of stumbling this morning, I just might as well tell you what's going on. One, just like everybody has this time of year. My sinuses are wanting to revolt on me. And as most of you have probably already had, Doc tells me I'm going to have a cataract removed pretty soon. And so my manuscript's kind of blurry this morning. So so y'all bear with me. And this morning is one of those times that I'm praying you will hear the point despite the presentation. But sometimes I find it easier and I can even relax more if I just say, this is what's going on, and stop trying to cover it up. So y'all just bear with me this morning. But as a congregation, we're also called to continually examine in light of God's Word if we as a congregation are being the church that Jesus is calling for. But now there can be a snag in that. Many times we need glasses, but we don't realize it. I was approaching my 20th birthday. I can remember that. I was approaching my 20th birthday when I first started wearing glasses. What happened was, is I was going to get my driver's license renewed, and I looked into the eye chart apparatus thing, and all of the symbols and letters, everything, it was just one long line. It was so blurry. So the officer was patient. He said, okay, well, let's just adjust a little bit here. And he flipped something, and same thing. So I was shocked. I hadn't noticed any problems. I was seeing just fine. To be honest, this was one time, even in my 20s though, when I knew that sometimes it's best to keep your mouth shut, I didn't think the officer knew what he was doing. But he was very nice about it, and he said, Mr. Pike, you need to do one of two things. He says, you do need to go see the eye doctor and either get glasses or bring us back a statement from the eye doctor that you don't need them. I said, okay, I'll go get my form saying I don't need glasses. I mean, I didn't say that out loud. That's what I'm thinking. So I go to the eye doctor, and guess what? I needed glasses. What the examination revealed was, I had 20, at that time, I had 20/30 in one eye, 20/40 in the other eye, and I had a slight astigmatism. In other words, my eyes were fine, but they weren't focusing quite right. I needed a little help focusing. When I put on those glasses for the first time, I was shocked by how clear everything was, the sharpness of my new vision. Do you see where I'm going with this? As Christians, oftentimes it's easy that we see good enough. We live good enough. We read our Bibles enough. We pray enough. We come to church enough. We're walking close enough to Christ that we really don't realize we're not walking as close as we could. We're good, decent, moral people. We make good neighbors. And so we don't realize we've convinced ourselves we're fine. The fact that most of us are good, decent, honorable people makes it difficult for us to realize the sin in our lives and the flaws in our character. Many a Christian and many a congregation has become apathetic, not out of rebellion, not intentionally, not from being a bad person, not being a bad group. It's just that often it occurs because spiritually speaking, we have 20/30, 20/40 sight, and we're seeing good enough. We're seeing good enough that we don't sense any problems, and therefore we don't realize we need to draw closer to Jesus. Yet if we read the Bible and we pray asking Jesus to search our hearts, to search our attitudes, to search our minds, to search our motives, we might be surprised at what Jesus will point out. Perhaps we would do well to ask Jesus to bring our spiritual sight into focus so that we see the ministry that Jesus says we can accomplish as individuals. Perhaps we would do well as a congregation to ask Jesus to sharpen our spiritual sight so that we can see the impact that Walker could have on this area for the kingdom of God. There are people who need their sight restored, such as likely the condition of the inactive members on church rolls across the nation. Such as likely the condition of many a person who is hesitant to join in the work of the church. Perhaps there are some who were hurt by the church in the past. Sadly, it happens. This message does not attempt to determine who was right or who was wrong, but it is an attempt to convince you to allow Jesus to relight that fire in you, to relight that enthusiasm you once had, to sharpen that sight that you once had, regardless of the reason that it went out. You know, I remember entering the ordained ministry in the process, and I entered with wide-eyed enthusiasm. Well, some people who knew me back then might say I entered with wild-eyed enthusiasm. I mean, I felt the literal presence of Jesus in every move I made, every time I preached, every visit I made, even going into the church office, believe it or not. I felt the literal presence of Jesus with me. And I was so excited about receiving my first appointment as a student when I was at LaGrange College that Sally had to tell me when we got back to the car after that initial meeting that I had been severely insulted. The church told me and said, the church said they had asked for a family man who was a student at Candler School of Theology at Emory. At that time, Sally and I were engaged. We were going to be married in a year, but at that time we were engaged. And so, of course, at that time, I was still technically single, had no children. I was going to college and not grad school. Well, I stood on the front steps of the church with the chairman of the board. And he told me, he said, "We asked for a family man going to Emory. We got you. We'll do the best we can." I was so excited to get my first church, and I was so naive. I didn't know I'd just been insulted. I didn't know that they were basically saying, "We're United Methodists. We don't want you, but we take what we get." I was too naive. I was too excited to be receiving my first appointment. That was 40 years ago. Since that exciting day, standing on the steps of my first appointment, getting insulted, not realizing it, there have been celebrations and there have been victories. There's been heartaches. There's been disappointments. But I can honestly say this. I feel as strongly called to preach today as I did 40 years ago. Am I as naive as I was 40 years ago? Maybe it'd be nice if I was, but I'm not. A lot in my life has changed in the last 40 years. At this stage, though, I do have a challenge. And the challenge is this. My prayer is that I am open to the Lord's teaching so that through my experience over the years, both good and bad, I'm hopefully a bit wiser. But wisdom is not the same thing as being tarnished. I hope I'm wiser. I hope I'm not tarnished. I hope I'm as excited to be chosen by God, even though I am as unworthy as they come. I hope I'm still as excited to be called by God to do this, but not quite as naive as I once was, because it would be easy after not being as naive as I once was for the calling to lessen. And so my prayer is that the calling is just as strong, though I'm not as naive as I once was. I pray that the Lord is able to take all of those experiences of the 40 years and hopefully make me a more effective pastor. And so I asked you this morning, was there a time when you were thrilled to serve the Lord through the church? I mean, it wasn't something you acquiesced to because, well, we're not getting any younger around here, and if I don't do it, nobody else will. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, was there a time in your life when you were thrilled if you were asked to serve in some capacity of the church? Was there a time in your life when if you felt the calling of God, you felt you were excited that God would choose you? Was there a time when you had dreams of what God could do through you? Was there a time when you had dreams of what God could do through this church? But over time, for one reason or another, the fire went out. You stopped dreaming. You lost the vision. You're just barely trying to hang on to hope. If that's where you are right now, please believe me. I don't criticize. I don't judge. I understand. Yet I also know that that is not God's purpose for our lives as individuals. I know that is not God's purpose for the church. But if that is where you are this morning, will you consider doing something? And I'm talking about privately between you and God. I'm not talking about bringing you down to the altar and putting you on the spot. I'm talking about privately between you and God. But if that's where you are this morning, will you consider recommitting your all to Jesus? And will you consider genuinely praying in your own words something like this? Lord, I used to have the fire. I used to have the enthusiasm, felt the enthusiasm for your work. At one time, I saw the vision of your call so clearly. There was a time when I saw you at work in my life, and I saw you at work in my church, and I was so glad to be a part of that. I want that vision again, Lord. I want that zeal again. I want to see you at work through me and through my church. Lord, restore my spiritual sight. And then remember Mark 10:52. Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This morning, right here, right now, Jesus can instill that enthusiasm again. Jesus can heal your spiritual sight. Will you let Him? Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you that you don't give up on us. Thank you that you understand us. Thank you that you understand us human beings that sometimes we feel the fire and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're a raging fire, sometimes we're just barely a flicker trying to continue. So Lord, you know each one of us in this room this morning. If we still have that fire, if we still have that enthusiasm, if we still have that vision, Lord, thank you and may you continue to feed that fire. But Lord, if there are any this morning who would say in some way, Lord, I still love you and I'm not leaving you, but I just don't feel it anymore. I just don't have it anymore. I don't want to desert you, but Lord, that call, that vision, that enthusiasm is just not there anymore. Lord, if there are any that are experiencing that this morning, you know why. I pray you would bring healing to those situations, whatever they may be, whether they be relational or some other situation, Lord, I pray you would bring healing to that. So that in all of us, you may relight that fire. You may instill that vision once again, that we might serve you to the fullest potential of the calling that you have placed upon us. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our final hymn is Softly and Tenderly. We'll sing 1, 2, and 4. Let's stand as we sing.